There's no outline per se tonight, fill in the blanks, but there's a note paper you might want to take hold of, because there are going to be some things that jump out at you tonight that I think that you'll want to write down. This was a message I was going to preach in June, and you guys kidnapped me that night. You remember that? Terry and I, we got up here, and my brother was sitting down here all dressed up, and I was starting to look at him funny, going, why is he all dressed up? Because he usually comes to church dressed like he is tonight in shorts and stuff, you know. But he was all dressed up, but Terry and I were blessed, and you all sent us off to Galena for a couple days, and that was a great blessing. So I didn't get to preach this message. But you know what? I was so excited to preach it that night. I'm more excited to preach it now, because after I got back from the mountaintop, I was just like, I've got to preach this. It was called Excuses, Excuses. And how many of you know those things come up in life, don't they? We make excuses. Excuses for our shortcomings, excuses for why we can't do certain things, why we can't get involved, why we can't go to the Helps Ministry Fair. When we have the Helps Ministry Fair, I can't do that because I don't have any talent or gifts or abilities, and I'm just going to walk right on out and shake Pastor Scott's hand and just go right out the door. Or what's even worse is I'm just going to go out that side door and then go out that way, and then he'll never see me. Well, I'm going to have a taser that night. Now, but we're going to learn tonight about the excuses have to stop. It's easy to come up with the reasons why we can't be happy, reasons why we can't accomplish our dreams, why we can't overcome a problem. You know, the boss is rude. Traffic's snarled and tangled. It's bad. I was betrayed. I have an excuse to settle for where I'm at. I lost a loved one. These are all excuses. And as long as you're making excuses, you'll justify staying right where you are. Excuses give us permission to settle for less than God's best. You know, when I was a little boy, when I was 4 years old, we moved into our house out by the airport south of Rock Falls. And, you know, when you move into a new house, sometimes you get some different furniture. And I remember we got a new couch and a chair upstairs. So the old recliner that my dad had, it was an old beat-up leather recliner that we had in Dixon in our house. We took it with us, but it ended up in the basement. And our basement wasn't finished. Now, my dad's got a man cave now down there now and to watch sports and everything. But back then, it was cement floors, cement walls, the whole nine yards. But so it was just stuck down there. And it was just something that I'd lay in because it was cool in the basement and read a book. Look at a comic book or something. But when I was 4 years old, I got into that chair one time and I took one of my mom and dad's butter knives and I started carving into the leather of the hand, where the hand goes, the armrest of that old recliner that was in our basement. And when my mom saw what I had done, and she saw the knife, and I was sitting there in a chair, and I had made a slit, several slits in the leather, and she said, Scott, why did you do that? My response was, Mama, the devil made me do it. That's exactly what I said. I guess I'd been watching too much Flip Wilson at the time. Google it if you don't know who Flip Wilson is. He did a character named Geraldine, a lady character. He was an African-American comedian, male comedian, but he would do a female comedian named Geraldine, and he'd say things like, you know, I'm gonna sit killer on you, or I'm going to meet him in the booth in the back in the corner in the dark, but his big thing was the devil made me do it. And I think I heard that on there, and that was my excuse. Why did I carve up that leather? The devil made me do it. You know, it's easy to find an excuse. We say, I can't lose weight because my metabolism's slow. Everybody in my family has this addiction. It's in my genes, this problem that I have. Everybody in my family has that problem. Well, maybe you have the power to set a new standard and get rid of the excuses. If you're blaming the past and you're blaming your family, you'll just get stuck. Throw out the excuses. Now, it might be, it very well may be, a valid excuse, but there comes a point in your life when you need to draw a line in the sand. Refuse to live angry, upset, with a chip on your shoulder. If you'll get rid of the excuses, God will be your vindicator. It's your year, as we're in the second half of 2016. It's your year now to see favor in a new way. Have the attitude of no more excuses. This day is a gift from God. I've determined I will enjoy it no matter what is going on. I'm no longer going to have excuses to feel inferior. Why? I'm God's masterpiece. See yourself that way. You're God's masterpiece. And you say, well, Pastor Scott, I'm not that talented. I don't get good breaks. Well, if you didn't get it, then you didn't need it. Okay? You didn't get it, you didn't need it. Move on. Quit comparing yourself and run your own race. Nobody can beat you at being you. God made you special. He's given you gifts, talents, and abilities and callings, a plan and a purpose to pursue in His life, in His time. Get rid of those excuses. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I remember I got here 30 years ago this past May out of college. I got here, I was 21 years old, fresh out of Bible school, ink still wet on my diploma. It was 2 days old. It was a day and a half old when I got back here. And I started as the assistant children's youth pastor here at Abiding Word Christian Center at the time. And our founding pastor was a man named Jim Evans. And 2.5 years after I arrived, he resigned and left. And it all dropped in my lap in October of 1988. And you know what? Scott Porter had a lot of excuses why I wasn't up to this. All the reasons in the world why I could not step up and step in and go into that calling. If I'd have given in at that point, I wouldn't be where I am today. So that's why we need to move on. And know that God has something greater. God has something better. Before you break the addiction in your life, if there's something you're struggling with, get rid of the excuse. People say, I've had it too long. I can't get rid of it. Nobody else has been able to do it. Or I had an uncle that tried and he failed. Or I had a brother or a cousin and they couldn't break free of it. If you're here tonight and you're single and you desire a mate, before you meet the person of your dreams, get rid of the attitude that says, I'm not attractive enough. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money. My last name isn't the right one. I don't have enough education. Those are all excuses. God has great things for you. You know, my wife has always encouraged me. She's always encouraged me along the way. My wife's told me what Philippians 4 says, you can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens you. She'd encourage me. She was in my corner. She was my biggest cheerleader. Even when I didn't believe in myself, she believed in me. And sometimes you need somebody to speak the truth in love to you. And that isn't always easy, and that isn't always fun. No ifs, ands, or buts. But it's time to lose the excuses. It's time to do it. Because you have the potential. God's placed it in you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved on the inside of you. And you've been changed. You're not that person that you used to be. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, you can receive that change tonight. Right here before you leave. God's going to do a great work in your life. Seeds of greatness have been planted in you. Quit telling yourself what you can't do and how you lack discipline. I stepped up and believed God there in the end of 1988. It was one of the scariest moments of my life. And at that moment when I became the pastor of this church, and here we are today. That first year full-time as the pastor, I worked full-time at the church, didn't get paid a dime. I look back at it and think, how did we make it? Terry was on pregnancy leave from the bank for several months. I don't know how we made it. I can't even remember. But God was faithful. And look how far God's faithfulness has brought us as a church. You might say, yeah, Pastor Scott, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that depends. I found it depends on what kind of dog you've got. God can teach you some new tricks. I don't care what kind of old dog you think you are. Are you stuck doing something the old-fashioned way because you think you can't keep up? Everything's changing too much. I've got a dumb phone. You know, I know things are changing. But you have to know this. You have to know this. You have what you need to thrive in this generation today. God's put it in you. God put in you what you need for this day. This is your time to shine. Stay open to new ideas. Don't be intimidated by new things. When we make excuses, they become a crutch. They just become a crutch. And that way we justify why we're not supposed to be where we're at. I'm just stuck here. This is just the way it's always been. You know, I don't like change. When we make excuses, it becomes that crutch. We come up with what I like to call a self-pity crutch. I have a reason to be this way. There's a reason why I am the way I am. You ought to see my parents. You ought to see my brother or my sister. I have a reason to be the way I am. And you use this as a self-pity crutch. You know, my friend, he's more talented than I am. She's more talented than I am. So I need this inferiority crutch. It's a thing I always fall back on when I need an excuse on why I can't move forward. Every time you make an excuse, it's slowing you down. Some people spend their entire lives on a self-pity crutch. Trust God to make your wrongs right. Here's a story of a little girl I want you to know about. If you put up that first picture. This little girl, her name was Wilma. She was born prematurely as the 20th of 22 children. She had polio. You know what that is? That's just a debilitating disease that crippled and sometimes would kill many people before they came up with the vaccine. But she had polio and was told by the doctor she would never walk again. Wilma couldn't play with other kids. She spent 2 years bedridden. Couldn't get out of bed. Bedridden, for those of you who might not know, that means you can't get out of bed. For 2 years, in bed. That was it. Okay? Wilma had a no excuses mentality, though. She wasn't going to let her circumstances stop her. Doctors made her a special leg brace, and she learned to walk. And she took off the brace and practiced walking without her parents' knowledge. They wanted her to keep the braces on because they paid money for those, and the doctor made them, and they helped her. But Wilma started taking them off, and she learned to walk without the braces, and then she learned to run. And at age 16, this young lady qualified for the Olympics. Her name was Wilma Rudolph. In the 1960s, she was considered the fastest woman in the world and competed in the Olympic Games in 56 and 60. In 1960, in Rome, in the Summer Olympics, Wilma Rudolph became the first American to win 3 gold medals in track and field during a single Olympic Games. She elevated women's track to a major presence in the United States, and as a member of the black community, she also was regarded as a civil rights and women's rights pioneer. And it was the first Olympics that was really televised internationally. So she, along with another young man, became international stars, Wilma Rudolph and Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali. The Italians nicknamed her La Gazzella Nera, the Black Gazelle. To the French, she was La Perla Noire, the Black Pearl. That's what happens when you don't let self-pity become a crutch. You will soar to heights you never thought possible. You know, we've all had bad breaks. Wilma Rudolph had bad breaks. But if it's going to keep you from your destiny, if that bad break's going to keep you from your destiny, God would never have permitted it in your life. In the scriptures, there was a man who was blind since birth. And people started to ask, whose fault is it that this man was born blind? And they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And they wanted to blame somebody and make excuses. And Jesus said, it's nobody's fault. Don't get stuck looking for someone or something to blame in your life. If you stay in faith and keep your eyes on Jesus, That thing that seems to be against you will start to turn to your favor. And it won't work against you, it'll work for you. Blame the man, blame the neighbor, blame your boss, blame your spouse. All that will do is make you end up feeling sorry for yourself. Take the hand you've been dealt in life and make the most of it. God sees every wrong. If you've been legitimately wronged, God sees every wrong, and he'll make those wrongs right. It's not up to you to make them right. He'll make them right. And if you don't let it become an excuse, God will turn it around and pay you back. 20, 60, 100 fold. God will bless you. What people did wrong to you doesn't have to affect you. Don't sit around thinking about it all the time, having a pity party with your pity crutch and your pity cake and candles, ready to blow them out. Let it go and let God be your vindicator. In the Old Testament, we see Joseph had his brothers. He had a dream, and he told his brothers a dream, and his brothers hated him for it, and they sold him into slavery. And one thing after another happened, one unfair thing after another happened to Joseph. He was betrayed, falsely accused, and imprisoned. He could have come up with excuse after excuse just to settle where he was. Because, you know, I've visited people in prison, and there's no guilty people in prison. They were all wrong. I had a bad lawyer. I got a bad break. This person's against me. That person, the judge, was against me. This person testified. I mean, that's what you hear all the time with people. But here's a guy legitimately put into prison that was innocent. He hadn't done anything wrong. And he could have had the biggest pity party in the world, and excuse after excuse could have been the result. But Joseph had a no-excuse mentality. He just kept shaking off the disappointments. And he came out vindicated and promoted to a place of honor at Pharaoh's right hand, almost like prime minister of Egypt. Don't get stuck looking back, reliving the negative, nursing and rehearsing the bad things that have happened to you. Keep moving forward. God will get you where you're supposed to be because God has the final say. You might say, but Pastor Scott, they did me wrong. They lied about me. That person betrayed me. They hurt me. I know. I know. Every last one of us has been hurt in one way, shape, or form. Me too. We've all been hurt. But let me tell you, it's not worth missing your destiny over it. It does not have to control the rest of your life. It doesn't have to be the narrative for the rest of your life. If every time somebody comes up to you and they bump into you or push that button in you and that story from that wrong, that betrayal, that hurt, that lie comes out of you, people are going to stay away from you because they don't want to be around that. That does not have to be the narrative of your life. Don't hobble when God created you to run like Wilma Rudolph. I can't do anything about the past, neither can you. But I can do something about right now. I can do something about my attitude right now. This day is a gift. And once we live it, we can never get this day back. We never can. You may have had a rough start, but you don't have to have a rough finish. You can run through the tape and fulfill your destiny in this life. I know it's not easy to get over it. Trust me, I know that. It's not easy to just turn the page and just move on. The pain of letting go is less than the pain of missing your destiny, though. The pain of letting go is less than the pain of missing your destiny. Scriptures tell us to be imitators of Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, it's from the Montgomery New Testament, he said, be imitators of me, Paul the Apostle, be imitators of me, how? As I am an imitator of Christ. I say that to you as your pastor. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. What does that mean? That means if you imitate Christ, people will come against you. Well, how do you know that? Because they came against Christ. If they came against him, they're going to come against you if you imitate him. God didn't promise you a rose garden. I beg your pardon. I flipped the lyrics around. But we're going to have a garden of Gethsemane experience in our life. Times of abandonment. A Judas who betrays us. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I've had that happen to me personally. but I've already gotten over it. Because I know in the end, I will wear the victor's crown. And like Joseph, you'll come out vindicated. In John 5, the man was lying at the pool of Bethesda. He was crippled. And he lay there by the pool of Bethesda. He laid there for 38 years. Think about this. Laid there for 38 years. And what happened is an angel would come and trouble the waters, and the first one who got into the water would receive the miracle that they needed. That's what happened at the pool of Bethesda. And the Amplified Bible described his condition this way in John 5:5. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. Deep-seated, lingering disorder. This was a disorder that could obviously keep this man from his destiny. And Jesus comes by one day there at the pool of Bethesda, and he sees the crippled man. And he asks the man, "Do you want to get well?" What kind of question is that? Jesus asked the guy that's been laying by this pool for 38 years, "Do you want to get well?" The man said, "Yes, but I don't have anyone to help me." He went on to say, "Every time the water's trouble, before I can get down there, somebody else gets in. Yes, I want to be well, but I don't have anyone to help me." What was that? It was an excuse. He made excuse after excuse. He'd used the excuse for so long, they'd become a crutch. Jesus said, if you're serious about getting well, then pick up your bed and walk. He said to the man that was late, you know, who lay down through the roof at the pool, at the house, his friends let him down. Pick up your mat and walk. Guy picked up his mat and walked. Here he is now at the pool of Bethesda. What does he say to the man? He said, pick up your bed and walk. You can make something happen, Jesus said to the man. And what did he do? He got up. The man got up. How many times and how many things would we get out of it if we quit feeling sorry for ourselves? If we quit sitting back using those excuses as a crutch? Jesus said, one translation of this said, are you serious about getting well? Is what Jesus asked him. Are you serious? I'm asking you. Are you serious about moving past that disappointment? Well, what do I do? Get up on the inside. You've been laying down on the inside for so long. Many of us have. I know I have. It's something God dealt with me on the mountaintop this week down in Virginia. When I was on that mountaintop down there and I was looking off and I could see the Massanutten Range and the Allegheny Range off in West Virginia. I could see all the way into West Virginia from where I was at in the Shenandoah National Park. And God just spoke to my heart and said, start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. Make no small plans here. Get up on the inside, in your attitude, in your countenance, the way you carry yourself. How you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. Not a good countenance. You're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. Isaiah 42 tells us, see, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. See, what God's talking about here, as he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, that the things that you were struggling with are coming to an end. The former things have come to pass. Yeah, that stuff happened. But God's about to put a stop to it. There's one requirement, the last part of the verse. You have to sing a new song. You see, the guy lying by the pool of Bethesda was singing the same old song. Do you want to get well? Well, I've been here 38 years and I have nobody to help me get in. He probably told people that for 38 years. He had an excuse. The water gets troubled, and I can't get in. Before I can get in, somebody else gets in ahead of me because I have no one to help me. Sing a new song. You can't keep singing the same old song. That man had been singing 38 years. No one will help. No, sing a song of victory. Sing a song of praise to God. You may have had some bad breaks, but this is your due season this year. Start to say, I'll break this bad habit. If you have some bad habits you need to break, say, this is my time of victory over that. I'll overcome this roadblock. If you want to see the new, you have to sing a new song. No more talking about who hurts you. People are quite tired about hearing that story. They're tired of it. That's why some quote-unquote friends start avoiding you, because all you do is talk about that past and what happened. God will turn your mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, to dancing. You may have a lingering disorder, and we make excuses. If you'll get rid of the excuses, we'll get rid of some of these lingering disorders. They'll leave. If there's something you need to get over today, a business that didn't make it, a friend who betrayed you, no more excuses tonight. Things that have held you back are coming to an end right now. You'll overcome that illness. You'll overcome that setback. You'll overcome those circumstances and see new levels of destiny and God's calling in your life. See, this isn't just for me or just for the chosen few here at this church. It's for each and every one of you here tonight. And those of you listening on the internet, it's for you too. The fulfillment of the vision God has birthed in your heart starts tonight. And remember this, we have every right to dream heroic dreams because we are children of Almighty God. Amen. Let's pray.